good to have you aboard for our midweek edition of Agriculture Today. You'll recall just a few weeks back we had the occasion to talk about the newly released numbers on net farm income in Kansas in 2016, put together by the Kansas Farm Management Association. This is yearly hailed as a good barometer of the state of the agricultural economy in Kansas. Now we want to dig into those numbers still a bit deeper and particularly talk about the different enterprises in Kansas agriculture in 2016 with the help of Kevin Herbel, the executive director of the Kansas Farm Management Association at K-State. Kevin, let's give some backdrop here, though, as per the overall report, as we discussed here in the earlier part of May. The net farm income average for Kansas was a positive this past year, $43,000, but averages are just that. One has to look a little bit further into the numbers, don't they?
That's right, Eric. Whenever we publish something like this or an average number gets put out, we always need to be careful what it is that we're looking at. Within there are certainly different farm types, different regions of the state. We had a great variation in the net income from one region of the state to the other. And certainly on a year like 2016, we had some very distinct things taking place weather-wise. We had certainly some very good yields in certain areas, not quite so good in others. And if you look at some of the areas where we were above trend yields, and in some areas certainly quite a bit above trend yields for a number of the crops, those would be our regions that showed a very good net income for 2016. And then a few of the areas that had fairly close to average or even a little below the trend that had been going on for the crops for yields, and those regions tended to be our lower net income areas. And so as we looked at moving into that time with decreasing commodity prices, we knew for a time that we were entering a period of years that were going to be a little more difficult. A lot of farms were seeking to manage themselves in a way as to increase their working capital, improve their debt structure, be in a strong position moving forward into that. But even with the knowledge of that, still a lot of factors come in and can create a tight cash flow situation out of a reduced margin like we had with the grain prices where they have been.
As we visit today, we'll talk about the crop side as well as the livestock side, but yield is but one component. There are any number of influences on net farm income, cost management being part of it, debt management, so forth.
Yes, all of those things come together, and certainly there'll be times where I'll get calls, different ones of our economists will get asked by farms that they work with, you know, well, what was the average? What's kind of a break-even price for a given crop? Where is that at? And we can certainly speak toward what does that look like on an average? You know, what did last year's numbers show? What did we see as far as a cost per acre, a cost per bushel relative to that? Making a few adjustments to last year's enterprise, we can make some estimates relative to changes in some of the crop input costs as to how that might adjust and what would be a potential break-even average price. But within there, we see some very, very broad differences from the high profit to the low profit farms. And where an individual farm falls within that spectrum is incredibly important. And it's very necessary for each farm not just to know where the average break-evens are at, but to really know and understand their farm, their numbers, their cost structure, their debt structure, how they're managing the resources that they're seeking to produce on their farm to understand where they need to be from a cost management, from a price break-even perspective.
That said, on the crops side, and looking at this crop by crop in Kansas, 2016 production, one suspects that some crops were more profitable than others, and that bore out, did it not?
That is certainly the case, as it does show us each year, and not going to be a surprise to anyone when we know what the commodity prices were and kind of the relationship between the various crops. But soybeans, certainly full season and double crop soybeans would be the two highest return crop enterprises for 2016. Actually, as we look kind of across the net return of our primary grain crops, those two crop enterprises were the two that did show a positive net return over total costs, with the highest actually being the double crop soybeans, followed second with the full season soybeans.
Over total cost distress.
Over total costs, yes. That's not just over the direct input costs. In that total cost number, we are including cost for operator labor, putting everybody kind of on a level field there, whether that operator labor was paid or unpaid. We're reflecting a cost for all operator labor. We're reflecting a interest charge for the investment. What was contributed toward the production of that crop, we're also contributing a land charge against the owned land that was in production on those enterprises. So if a farm had crop share, certainly the cost of that was the share of the crop going to the landlord. If it was cash rent, that would reflect the cost. And then on owned land, we bring back a land charge, which is essentially reflective of what the cost would have been relative to a net crop share had it been crop share rented land. And so this net return over total costs includes each of those items as a cost.
So soybeans accomplished that. The other major grains came up short of covering total costs now, right?
That is correct. And looking at the primary grains here, we'll be talking corn and grain sorghum and wheat as the other three. And each of them did have a negative net return relative to total costs. On the corn and grain sorghum, we did see a positive return over variable costs or over the direct costs. With wheat, for the average farm in our enterprise analysis, it was essentially right at a break even. As I look at the number here in front of me on our enterprise analysis, and this is on 211 farms where we had the complete enterprise analysis information on wheats, and we're showing there a 29-cent per acre net return over variable cost. So essentially right at break even on the variable costs, and then showing a net return to management of a minus $75 per acre on the wheat. And that compares with the beans and corn and grain sorghum earlier. Our double crop soybeans net return to management was a positive $102 over total costs. The full season beans was right at about $67 net return to management. Corn was a $62 loss on its net return to management, and then a net $58 loss net return to management on the grain sorghum. And the picture that we see when we divide our enterprise analysis into profit thirds is very revealing when we look at the importance of each farm knowing and understanding where their numbers are at and what their numbers show.
That's very stark that the upper third versus the lower third, the costs are going to be varied?
That is correct. There's quite a bit of variation there. We mentioned the double crop soybeans being the highest net return to management of each of these enterprises we've discussed here some today. The difference from the high profit to the low profit was about $43 an acre in cost. There was also $117 an acre difference in revenue. And so it's not to say that's not a difference. And certainly yield was a portion of that. Price was also a part of that. And those we're very aware of and we know we need to manage for. But to come back and not just say our goal needs to be reduced costs at all costs, our goal needs to be having our inputs at the level that's the most appropriate level for the resources that we're producing on. And so that appropriate level of cost on one farm and maybe even on one field versus another on a given farm operation can be varied based on what's most appropriate to produce using that resource that's being used in production there.
Kevin, it's worth noting that coming into 2016, generally speaking now, crop input costs had been paring back some, thankfully, for producers, and that was reflected again this past year.
That is correct, and I think that's important to point out. Part of that's going to certainly be the management that producers were exerting on their farm as we were seeing the potential and experiencing the lower grain prices. The machinery cost per acre decreased by about 9% across the farms from 2015 to 2016. Crop production costs decreased by about 6%. That was somewhat varied of the different crop inputs. If we look at fertilizer, that was the primary one seeing a decrease. So just pulling out one of the crops here specifically. So on the average farm, the 2011 to 15 average fertilizer cost per acre was $87. And in 2016, the fertilizer cost per acre was $64. Herbicide costs, and this won't be a surprise to anyone, herbicide costs did show an increase across pretty well all of the crops. Here again, just looking at the corn, about a $6 per acre increase in 16 compared to the previous five-year average. Some other inputs then, and this would go back to the machinery costs, but fuel costs showing somewhat of a decrease across a number of the crops, a slight increase to a little bit of a decrease on the seed input costs. So certainly efforts being made toward managing those inputs in a wise fashion, and important for everyone to be looking at and understanding how they're managing their inputs for the resources they're producing on.
Cogs to good management, as we visited about before. Kevin, we'd like to turn the page and look at the livestock side, if we might, in just a few moments after we take this break. Our guest on Agriculture Today, Kevin Herbel of the Kansas Farm Management Association out of K-State, will take a closer look at more numbers from the 2016 Net Farm Income Summary for Kansas shortly here on the K-State Radio Network.